This is Not the Average Real Estate Podcast by Not Your Average Real Estate Investor. Dipna Boholt used real estate investing strategies to completely replace the income from her accountancy practice with passive income in just 18 months and has since taught thousands of others to do the same. Welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast.
Hi guys, Dipna here, and welcome to the I Love Real Estate Podcast series. Today's podcast is going to be a little bit different in that today I want to share some of the content that I went through recently at my Next 10 event. Now, this was a tour that I did right around the country, and we talked about some of the big disruptors and the disruptive forces in the market today and what effect it actually has on the Australian property market and what it's going to be doing over the next 10 years. You know, we're in for some really big changes, and not just in the way we live, but the way we need to be investing in property. But the good thing is that armed with the knowledge that I'm going to be sharing with you over the next few podcasts, we'll be better equipped to position yourself for profit and to be able to handle these changes, to be at the forefront of some of these changes and actually be able to turn that into profits. So in today's session, what I thought I'd do is I would go through some of the research that I went through on the next 10 event and show you where we're really at in the market as opposed to what the mass media says about where we're at, because the two are very, very different. So when we see and we uncover some of this information, you know, it completely changes the way you look at real estate and the way you focus on the types of investing you should be going into and where, in fact, the Aussie property market's even going to be going over the next 10 years. So what I've done is I want you to have a bit of a listen, and you'll see it. I'll see you at the other end. And I'll go through a bit of a summary about some of the things that we're going to go through right now. So hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you on the other side. So where are we really at? Let's have a look at this. Now, look, I am an accountant and I'm an economist, so I look at things from a very logistical perspective, okay? And I've got a lot of stuff for you today which is quite statistic-based. However, when you embrace this and when you understand some of the elements of change, what you can do is you can preempt that change and take advantage of it. So let's start with bad news, fear. You know, you turn on the television, you listen to the radio, you go onto any of the news websites and things like that, and what do you get? You get bad news. Now, that creates a certain amount of fear. It creates a mentality of fear. Why do they do that? They do that because they want to sell papers, or they want to sell advertising, they want to sell, you know, media channels, whatever it is. That's what actually sells. That's what people are attracted to. Now, why are people attracted to those things? Because as humans, we are pre-programmed to be aware of our circumstances, aware of things that might harm us. If you go back to the olden days of, you know, the cavemen, you know, we had to be very alert as to what was going around. Otherwise, you know, the dinosaur would come and eat us. So what we have to do is step back from that. Can we not take photographs, please? Can we not take photographs, please? Because these guys bought the books and it's unfair to them. So we need to be aware of that stuff. So we are pre-programmed anatomically to be alert to negativity. Now, that can actually work against us, because when we hear all of these things and we look at, you know, all of the atrocities around the world, I mean, now with internet and technology and things, we're seeing so much more than we ever had before. You know, back in the 1300s, there was actually more violence, more killing, more whatever, but we didn't see it. You know, we had to wait for the guy to ride his horse from that town to that town to that town to that town before we heard about anything. Now, it's instantaneous. And that automatically changes our response mechanisms. It changes our reality, because we get really caught up in the negativity that's going on. And I can tell you, if you focus on the negativity, that's what you'll experience in your life. That's what you're going to see. That's what you're going to expect. That's what your reticular activating system in your head will notice. It won't notice the person out there that's making the money, the person over there that's changed their life, the person over here that's, you know, a solo mum that's replaced her income in a few years. You won't see that because you're so focused on the negativity. So that's the first point that I actually want to make. Where in actual fact, we are living in the best time ever, in history ever.
That's a big call. Global poverty is getting worse. This is what the television is telling us. Global poverty is getting worse, right? No, it's not. If you actually have a look at this, global poverty actually peaked in the 1970s. Ever since then, we've been improving. We've been getting richer. Poverty levels have reduced. But that's not what the media is telling you. We are sicker than we've ever been, right? Actually, no. When you look at our life expectancy, it's been dramatically increasing and is expected to increase astronomically from this point forward because of all the medical advancements and things. We're actually all living longer. When you take that a little bit further and you start to think about technology, there's a theory called Moore's Law and singularity, which actually talks about the time when the advancement in technology is increasing so fast that it is extending our life more than what we're actually living. So the technology is improving so much and extending our life, say, by a year, in less than a year. So it's increasing more than we're actually living. What does that mean? Well, technically, if you take it to the technical conclusion, that means we've got immortality. Are we there yet? No, we're not. But I can tell you now that increase in technology is making a massive, massive difference to our lifespan. To our lifespan and what our expectations are. You put that onto a chart like this. This is life expectancy. Now you can see here, once we get up here to the 2000s, that has, you know, we've been, since the day dot, since, you know, when Christ was born, we're going along here, 2000, look at that. That's exponentially how much our life expectancy has increased. And it's all because of technology. It's all because of a lot of advancements. And the technology and the robotics and the artificial intelligence and all of these things are meaning that we are advancing so much quicker. So much quicker. You know, we're going to be talking about the next 10. What's happening in the next 10 years? You know, I just ask you to go back 10 years. Let's go back 10 years. Back 10 years, would you have imagined that I can answer a call on my watch? That I can talk to my watch? That I can write little things on my watch and messages to people? It tells me when to breathe. I don't like being controlled. But we would never have imagined that. And that's just one little example. You know, and that when you start compounding that into every industry, it is making massive, massive change very, very quickly. The world is a more violent place than it ever has been before, right? You know, we got wars, we got bombings, we got all of these things. Actually, no. If you trace this back, you know, the decline since about 20 years ago has been very dramatic. We're actually living in one of the most peaceful times ever. And I know there's still a lot of atrocity, but when you compare it to what we've had in the past, it's less. You look at this, this goes back to the 1300s. Look at that. When you compare the violence and murders back to the 1300s, look how much it's come down. You know, I think we forget just how bloodthirsty our human race has been over history. Even when you look at the number of large-scale wars, they're dramatically decreased when you take that back to the 1400s there. So aren't we living in a strong, strong man dictatorship? We've got Putin, we've got Trump, we've got Kim Jong-un. I mean, these are the people that we keep hearing about all the time and violence and maniacs and all the rest of it. Well, it's actually, now is the first time in history that we've got more democracy in the world. There is more democracy now than there ever has been previously. We've gone from dictatorships to democracy. Even, you're going to love this one, even the environment. Now, for all you greenies, this is a very different style of news that you're going to be hearing here. You know, the forests, we're burning up all our forests and we've got no forests and we won't be able to make any oxygen and we won't be able to breathe and all of these things. The studies are actually showing that the density of the forests are increasing. We're actually getting higher density, which gives us higher capacity. It's amazing how nature has kicked into gear to regulate what we're doing to it. Now, look, I'm as much of a greenie as anybody else about protect the earth and all of those things. But the fact is, you've got to look at raw data. You've got to look at the actual facts, not the hype. When you look at the density of the forests, and this is done by a university in the Rockefeller University, the density is increased. The forest might be some in decline, but the density is actually increasing. The research shows that the forests are thickening in 45 out of 68 countries, which together accounts for 72% of global forests. Now, we don't hear that. So even on a subjective topic like the environment, you know, we're not necessarily hearing the complete story. Humans are breeding like rabbits and will soon be overrun on Earth. Even this week, we had Dick Smith out on TV talking about how Australia is becoming overpopulated and we need to cut back. If we cut back, what happens is that we lose our growth. We will become insular. You'll end up like North Korea, to the extreme, obviously. So is that the case? Well, actually, let's have a look at this. If you took Bangladesh, now we're talking about densities here, Bangladesh, see that little tiny blue square there? All of if everybody lived in the same density as Bangladesh, the human race would completely fit in Australia. We're very underpopulated. Take that to the next level. If everybody lived as densely as Manhattan, everybody could fit in New Zealand. Amazing, isn't it? Take it to another step. There's Bangladesh again. If we took, you know, the density in Bangladesh, there are more people in this little red square around Bangladesh than there are in all the other blue countries and areas around the world, including Australia. So are we overpopulated? No, we're not. And when you understand the economy behind population growth, you understand that that's what creates growth, that's what creates diversity, that's what creates demand, that's what creates the need for more supply, that's what creates more wealth. We need that. We need more of it. While it's a little true fact that the global population has grown quickly, we're actually increasing at a lower rate. So yes, the population of the world is increasing, but the rate at which it's increasing is lower. Why? Because a big chunk of people are moving into the middle class. And when people move into the middle class, they have less babies. So we're breeding less. Okay? You look at things like this, economically. Progress, this is progress over the last 100 years, right? The average human lifespan is increased 2 times in the last 100 years. The average per capita income has gone up 3 times in the last 100 years. Childhood mortality is down 10 times in the last 100 years. The cost of food is down 10 times. Who would have ever believed that before? Oh, come on, you didn't see these stats. You know, you wouldn't think that, but this is the actual figures. The cost of electricity is down 20 times in the last 100 years. That'll shock you. The cost of transportation is down 100 times. Horses used to cost a lot. The cost of communication is down 1,000 times. Remember that the first mobile phone that came out? It was called the brick. You know, and it was in the car and you had this thing that used to fit in the console and the big chunky thing, it used to cost a few $1,000s. Actually more than that, I think it was like $5,000 or $6,000. Look how even in that one industry, how we've come down to the tiniest little thing. As I said, I can make a phone call on my watch. Unbelievable. The reality is that you got to stop watching television. I mean, people complain to me all the time about not having enough time. Chuck your television out the window and we'll see how much time you end up having. And be very, very mindful of the stimuli that you're allowing into your environment. Because if you are constantly being bombarded by negativity, whether that's through the media or whether it's through the people around you, then that is the mentality that you will take on. If you take on that mentality, you take on that negativity, it will freeze you into inaction. You will never get a result. You will never become wealthy. You will never replace your income if you are constantly in a modality of inaction. and fear creates inaction. So be very, very conscious of what you feed yourself, both with media stimuli and the people around you. You know, who do you hang with? What kind of attitudes do they have? Do they have an expectation of success? Do they have an expectation of making money? Do they have an expectation of replacing their income in two, three, four, 5 years? Probably not. So that's why you've got to place yourself in those kinds of environments. You know? Who here is still buzzing from last weekend? Yeah. Absolutely amazing weekend. Because everybody there is on the same path. We saw some amazing stories. You know? Who is actually, I know they're here, who out of the I Love Real Estate community was on that first video that I played? Who thinks, before we get there, the first video, okay, who thinks that's unachievable? The figures that we talked about in that very first video, the introductory video, who thinks that's unachievable? You're not game, are you? Who was on that video? Look at these hands, guys. Who was on that video? Give them a big round of applause. You know, technology is taking such a big turn. And when I was looking at technology and doing a lot of research for today, I couldn't help but put this in. They've even created fart patches. Make your fart smell good. That's how far technology has really come. Makes it smell like mint, apparently. Humans constantly underestimate the pace at which technology changes. We're constantly doing it. We've done it significantly in the past as well. Have a look at some of these. You know, Western Union, this telephone, as we're talking about the telephone coming out, this telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. The device is inherently of no value to us. And that was the head of Western Union. 1876. All right, Ken Olson, founder of the Digital Equipment Corporation, said there is no reason why anyone would want a computer in their home. Who owns more than two computers? Look at you. There was a columnist writing for Bloomberg, and he's talking about the iPhone. He says the big competitors in the iPhone industry, such as Nokia and Motorola, won't be whispering nervously into their clamshells over the new threat to their business. The iPhone, he's talking about the iPhone, is nothing more than a luxury bauble that will appeal to a few gadget freaks. Didn't call myself a gadget freak, but anyway. In terms of its impact on the industry, the iPhone is less relevant. It's a changer in the industry. It completely changed. The new smartphones become the norm. And this is the pace at which we're moving, not just in simple things like this. Back in the World War I, aeroplanes are interesting toys, but of no military value. These are all people that were recognized as big leaders at the time. You know, Harry Warner, Warner Brothers in 1927, who the hell wants to hear actors talk? Why should they talk? Professor at Yale University of Economics. Stocks, this is in 1929, stocks have reached what looks like a permanently high plateau. Who wished their grandfather bought a whole heap of stocks back in 1929 and they still had them today? You know, we hear it all the time. Property prices are at a peak. Stock prices are at a peak. This is at a peak. That's at a peak. Is it true? No. Because what you've got to understand is that the value of property will continue to go up. The value of stocks will continue to go up, provided you're looking at, you know, the balance sheets and whatever else. Another story. Not going there today. When you flood yourself with this kind of fear mentality, you will not take action. You know, I've got a friend who, black and white, back in about 2004 in Sydney, said to me, prices in Sydney are going to fall. Prices in Sydney are too high. We are too unaffordable. You know, this cannot continue. I'm going to pull all my money out of the property market and I'm going to wait for it to fall. He's not in a very good position today, I can tell you. And I don't know that his portfolio would even allow him to get back into the industry right now. Let's have a look at this one, the Business Week. What about the Japanese car industry's long-term prospects? In 1978, in the US Business Weekly, it says, with over 50 foreign cars, it's talking about America, with over 50 foreign cars already on sale here, the Japanese auto industry isn't likely to carve out a major slice of the US market. They've taken it over. We're talking about advancements in technology. Louis Pasteur's theory of germs is ridiculous fiction. But there are a few people that got it right. What about Tesla? Who loves Tesla? Who's actually read the whole story of Tesla? He is an amazing, amazing man. You should read that. This is one of his quotes. He said, when wireless is permanently applied, the whole earth will be converted to a huge brain. Now, this is long before the internet, but would you consider the internet to be a huge brain? Totally. We shall be able to communicate with one another instantly, irrespective of distance. Now, this is way before computers or anything else. Why did he have this vision? Not only this, but through television and telephony, we shall see and hear one another as perfectly as though we were face to face. Despite intervening distances of thousands of miles and the instruments through which we shall be able to do this, will be amazingly simple compared with our present telephone. A man will be able to carry one in his vest pocket. How about that? This was back in 1928. You know, so it's important to really embrace change. Change in technology, change in your lives, you know, change in your thinking. When you can do that and you can implement that, that's when you grow. Because if you're not changing, if you're not challenging yourself, you're not growing. You're not improving. And if you're not improving, the world is leaving you behind. Because that's how fast things are moving. You've got to embrace technology and change. So what are we going to cover today? I'm going to talk about my property genius formula. I'm going to go through that very, very shortly, and it covers a whole heap of components. We're specifically talking about someone starting from an advanced position or from a novice position. You've got to get these things right to be able to move forward. The world is better than we think. We've already seen that. The last 50 years has made massive improvements in our life. Income disruptors. I'm going to be covering what are the things that are going to change the way we earn income. And if you're not on the bandwagon, you're going to miss out. There are major changes. A lot of changes have already happened. You know, I'll be talking about some of the more advanced technologies and what that means, particularly for real estate today. Real estate ownership disruptors. I'll be talking about, you know, the way you need to own real estate and, importantly, whether you actually own it or even whether you just need to control it. Because if you think about it, control is actually what you want. It's not ownership. What's a piece of paper? What you really want is control, because when you control the outcome, you can direct it the way you need to have it. And then the crazy accelerators of some of the things that are big game changers that are going to make a lot of difference very, very quickly. How to predict the next 10 property cycle. This afternoon after lunch, I'm going to be covering the economic stuff. I'm going to be covering where we're at in the cycle here in Australia and here in Sydney, I mean, and around the rest of Australia. I'm going to talk about a little bit of macroeconomics and in particular where the opportunities are because of the change that's happening in our population demographics and things like that. I'll also be talking about the millennials. You know, the affordability of housing. We hear all about affordability in these things. But the reality is, you know, there are still plenty of ways to get into the market. I've got young students. I'll show you later on, but I took on a bunch of kids between the ages of 19 and 22. And I've done it for 2 years running now, where we just pump these kids with information, pump these kids with knowledge, pump these kids with confidence. And they've gone out there and done amazing things. They've gone out and you know, bought properties. Some of them have replaced, you know, $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 worth of income. Others have got $100,000, $200,000, $300,000 worth of deals in the play right now. Profit out of those deals in the play right now. And you think about that and you go, wow, these are just young kids. They didn't have any money to start with. But see, this is where your education and your mindset needs to be totally in alignment congruent, so that you take the action that needs to be taken in the right manner. I've also seen many people out there who've taken action, but without the right education and fundamentals, they go down the road of negative gearing. They go down the road of having to work just to be able to continue to survive, hoping their properties are going to go up in value.
Well, what do you think about that? Does that change the way that you're actually seeing the world right now? Can you see what I mean about being able to position yourself for massive opportunity in the future, and not just in the distant future, but actually in the near future? In the next few podcasts, we'll be continuing this theme, and I'll be looking over some of the big game changes that are going to really kind of shake up the Aussie property market. And we've got to embrace these massive changes that are happening. So you'll understand better as we go through the next series. So till then, you know, I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. Look forward to having you on the next one, because on the next one we were talking about some of the big income disruptors, and I know you're going to love it. So see you on the next one. Bye for now.